2 Kings chapter 5 is the story of Naaman, who suffered from leprosy. Now we all know the story of Naaman, that man from another land who came seeking healing. But tonight, as we go through this portion of scripture, we're going to look and see how this man responded to what the prophet told him. In other words, how he responded to what he was told and what was required of him and what sort of response there was in his heart to what he was told. In other words, how he felt when he was told what to do in order that he could be healed. And it's the same today, friends, when people are told from the Word of God what they need to do. There are many responses in our hearts and in our lives, but most of them are rebellious responses. They want to do it their way, their way. So let's just think about this man as we read through 2 Kings chapter 5, commencing to read at verse 1. Now Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honourable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valour, but a leper. And the Syrians had gone out on raids and brought back captive a young girl from the land of Israel. She waited on Naaman's wife. Then she said to her mistress, "If only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy." And Naaman went in and told his master, saying, "Thus and thus said the girl who is from the land of Israel." Then the king of Syria said, "Go now, I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothing. Then he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which said, "Now be advised, when this letter comes to you, that I have sent Naaman my servant to you, that you may heal him of his leprosy." And it happened when the king of Israel read the letter, that he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and make alive, that this man sends a man to me to heal him of his leprosy? Therefore, please consider and see how he seeks a quarrel with me." So it was when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, "Why have you torn your clothes? Please let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." Then Naaman went with his horses and chariots, and he stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean." Verse 11. But Naaman became furious and went away and said, "Indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the place and heal a leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spoke to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you have not done it? How much more then, when he says to you, wash and be clean?" So he went down and dipped 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his aides, and came and stood before him, and he said, "Indeed, now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. Now therefore, please take a gift from your servant." But he said, "As the Lord lives before whom I stand, I will receive nothing." And he urged him to take it but he refused. So Naaman said, "Then, if not, please let your servant be given 2 mule loads of earth, for your servant will no longer offer either burnt offerings or sacrifices to other gods, but to the Lord." And we thank God for his word to our hearts. We have read 2 Kings chapter 5. And in 2 Kings chapter 5, it contains the story of a miracle and a mystery. And the account is carefully put together. We have it here in the Bible, friends. You and I can read it from start to finish in a few minutes or more. We know exactly what occurred and what happened because we can read it. But Naaman, the main character in this portion of Scripture, does not know. He did not know, and we see how he reacted as a person to the different situations that arose and he was confronted with. Here was a man who was from a different country. He came from Syria. He came from a different people, a different way of life, a different thought pattern. He was going to be given instructions, and to benefit from them, he was going to have to obey. He was going to have to act on the advice given. He was brought face to face with a prophet, a servant of God, a man who spoke on behalf of God, who spoke the word of God, and he gave the directions of God. Naaman's own values and opinions were going to be challenged. And as we look at this incident and read and study God's word, we may also find that our own opinions and values are challenged by the word of God and by the way that God thinks. Let's prepare our minds to appreciate the story by reading some verses from Isaiah 55. Listen to what they say. Verse 1 says, "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price." Verse 3, "Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live." Verse 6, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near." Let's observe who the word is written to here. This portion of Scripture is written to those who do not know the Lord personally. And perhaps tonight you are seeking. You're a person who is seeking. Perhaps tonight your interest has been sparked, been aroused, for whatever reason or because of some incident or situation, or perhaps even illness. Your interest is raised concerning the things of God and the Spirit of God. In verse 8 and 9, we read these words, friend. Let's read them slowly and carefully as we think about 2 Kings chapter 5. They are important words, not only to 2 Kings 5, where the miracle occurred, but to understand how the Lord wants us to understand and to know when he leads and guides us. Verse 8 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." As we have read through this, we see the steps that Naaman took as he prepared to go. The wrong ideas that he had as he sought to be healed, as he figured how it could be achieved. In verse 5 of 2 Corinthians, or Kings 5, we read these words. Then the king of Syria said, "Go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothing. He took with him money and silver. First of all, he thought he could purchase healing. In the culture that he came from, bribes would have been necessary. Bribes would have been a way of life. And it's still today, many people would be willing to pay their way into heaven, but very few are willing to believe their way in. However, Isaiah 55 verse 1 says these words. "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the water. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price." That was his first error. He thought he could pay for his healing. His second error was he thought he could be healed by another sinner. Verse 6 of 2 Kings says, "Then he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which said, 'Now be advised when this letter comes to you that I have sent Naaman my servant to you, that you may heal him of his leprosy.'" The letter to the king of Israel was normal protocol in those days. Naaman expected the king would direct his holy man to perform some ceremony and heal his leprosy. He expected pagan priests to heal him. In Old Testament times, God held prophets and priests especially accountable so that there would be no mistake about who had the power. And it is the same today. The glory must be given to God, not to men or women, whatever their ability or their knowledge. The glory must go to God. Remember the invitation in Isaiah 55, verse 3 and 6, it says, "Incline your ear and come to me. Hear and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David." Verse 6, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near." The Bible does not say, "Seek my prophets and let him heal you." It says, "Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord." Today the relationship is between you and God. In Old Testament times, priests were a go-between, a messenger. But today Jesus Christ is our high priest. And because he is God, we have access through to the Father through our Savior. There is one mediator between man and God, the man Christ Jesus. The king of Israel was right to be frightened when he got the letter. He knew he could not heal Naaman, nor could he order Elisha to do it. Verse 7 of 2 Kings 5 says, "And it happened when the king of Israel read the letter that he tore his clothes and said, 'Am I God to kill and make alive, that this man sends a man to me to heal him of his leprosy? Therefore, please consider and see how he seeks a quarrel with me.'" God was at work here. God's ways are mysterious and higher than our ability to understand. In verses 9 to 11, we see Naaman's third error. He came with a list of his own expectations of how he could be healed, of how he thought it should be done. It says in verse 9, "Then Naaman went with his horses and chariots, and he stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean. But Naaman became furious, and he went away and said, Indeed, I said to myself, He will surely come out to me and stand and call in the name of the Lord his God, and wave his hand over the place, and heal the leprosy. Imagine the scene, folk. He had come with lots of money to be healed. He was a man of great dignity and great authority. He had travelled many miles. I expect he had high hopes of a face-to-face meeting, an audience with the healer in his opinion. I expect he thought how it was going to happen, that he was going to call on his God to make him clean. Was there something that he could do himself, be asked to do? Was there something that he could give? But there was nothing, friends. There was no great ceremony, no great greetings, no calling on God, no mystery here, no power display in the sky or earth, no face-to-face meeting, no praying, nothing religious. As this man, with all who accompanied him, stood outside the prophet's house. Imagine the scene. There was horses. There was chariots. There were servants. There was clothing. There was money. There was power. There was authority. He was accompanied by soldiers and servants and helpers waiting to converse with the man of God to be healed. It says in verse 9, Then Naaman went with his horses and chariots, and he stood at the door of Elisha's house. Think about this. As he stood there with all these people who had high hopes for their master, they knew him and they respected him. They would have had some idea in their heads how he should be dealt with, this man, how he should be treated. In his own country, people would have bowed, scraped, they would have fawned to welcome him. And then, friends, as they stood there and waited, we assume, outside this shack, to converse with the man of God, the prophet of God. You can imagine the scene with all them people there. The occasional horse moving its head. There would have been quietness. There would have been waiting. There would have been expectation. A sense of anticipation. Perhaps not knowing what was going to happen, but something great in their minds was going to be taking place. In an isolated shack, they would have been standing outside because the prophets of God had very little. And then we expect there would have been some sort of a rattle or movement of a bolt or something else in the door. And a creaking door would have opened, friends. And a servant steps out and gives a message. What was the message? The message is contained at verse 10. It says here, And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean. That was it, friends. You can imagine the servant going back in, creaking door closed, bolts or something else moving into place, and that was it. That was it. He says, in effect, that is the servant, He said, Elisha says, go dip in the river 7 times and you'll be fine. Have a good day. That was it. The door closes. The bolt slides into place. From what we've read here, it appears that this man would have stood speechless. The prophet didn't even bother to come out to the door. Nothing is said here about clothes or money or property that he had brought with him. It would have been humiliating for this man, Naaman. The instructions appeared to be silly. Naaman wasn't spoken to or consulted. He could have thought, who knows? Doesn't this prophet know who I am? His pride would have been wounded. He was being passed over, passed by, treated like everyone else. But Isaiah 55 verse 8 and 9, it says these words, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. I wonder tonight if you ever felt like that yourself. Someone makes a decision for the best reason, knowing the big picture. And you feel let down. Perhaps passed over. You could even feel annoyed. Feel that you should have been involved. You should have been consulted. Perhaps you should. But decisions like this today are generally not made on the spur of the moment. And those involved have seen them coming. But if you're not involved, you can feel that you have been passed by, overlooked, and not consulted. But probably the real reason is you haven't been in the loop, friend. Perhaps you haven't been pulling your weight, and a decision has been made for the good, proper and right reason, and you haven't been in the loop to assist in the making of it. In verse 11 of 2 Kings 5, we read these words. But Naaman became furious, and he went away and said, indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and wave his hand over the place and heal a leprosy. Naaman was angry because his encounter with God met none of his personal expectations. And this still happens, friends. He expected to be taken seriously. He was a man who commanded armies. When he spoke, people jumped. There was action. Others fell to their knees before him. He was important. He expected his illness to be taken seriously. He would have felt better if Elisha had met with him, spoken to him, assured him he would try to heal him, accepted some money, that he would consult God and talk to him or heal him himself. Feed his pride, friends. Make him feel important. Look important in front of others. The healing session to be special, or at least dignified. Dignified. See his reason for this type of thinking in verse 12, which says, are not Abana and the Farfar the rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. He cracked up, basically. We would say today, he threw a wobbler. He was saying, if bathing is the answer, why would I not wash? Why would I wash in some dirty little river in Israel? Syrian rivers are better than the waters of Israel. He would have said, this is stupid. Here we see pride on parade. People today, friends, want cleansing on their terms. My terms, in my way, earned by my efforts. I will not bow in humiliation. I will not bow in that type of action. I will not trust. I will not accept. I will not repent and be saved. No, I will work. I will do something. I will attend church. I will be baptized many ways, but their way, friends. There are many today who will not listen to the gospel message. From them, my way cries out. Yet behind it all, they have no peace, no assurance in their heart that all is well with their soul. But remember Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9, which says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God doesn't turn anyone away who comes seeking him. Naaman felt he was getting the runaround here. Nothing he had expected. But here was a man who had been guided by God on every step of his journey without knowing it. First of all, God used the servant girl to tell his wife. Then the king of Syria to write a letter. Then the king of Israel to send him to Elisha. And then a messenger from Elisha to tell him what to do. And then finally, Naaman's own servants to convince him that he should do what he's told. Verse 13 says, and his servants came near and spoke to him and said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says to you, wash and be clean? Naaman came very close to going home to die. It would have been pride that killed him. His own stubborn unwillingness to change his way for the Lord's. We see it today, people are told the good news of salvation by grace alone, only to respond, that's too simple. Where's the dignity? Where's the effort? If my life is going to be changed, surely something is required of me. I must do something. Fortunately, Naaman's servants were able to convince him to obey. Verse 14 says, then he went down and dipped 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. He was healed, friend. Healed of leprosy. What a miracle it was. It was so simple. So simple. Elisha arranged the healing so that the Lord, not himself, would be seen as performing this miracle. And the glory would go to God. Obedience was required here. obedience. This was ordinary water in an ordinary river. That's all it was. There was no trumpets, no fanfare, no fire, no smoke. It was simple. It was straightforward. It was done the way God said, and obedience was required. It was simply this: dip or die. Dip or die. Because leprosy would have killed him in the end, eventually. So it was straightforward. Dip in a river or die. It was one or the other. And it's the same, friend, for you tonight. I know so very few of you. But it's simple and it's straightforward. It's either heaven or hell for you. It's one or the other. It's a simple case of repent or be lost. Trust Christ or you're finished. You'll go out into eternity without a Saviour. It's a case of trust Christ. Trust Him, friend, if you're not saved. Come and bow and accept Him as your Saviour. As I said, in relation to our friend Naaman, dip or die. Heaven or hell for you. His invitation is still relevant today. His way, His grace, all for the glory of God. We find as we read on that this was a thankful man to be healed. He was a very thankful man. He got new flesh and a new heart. He was cleansed. For we read in verse 15, he says, "And he returned to the man of God, he and all his aides, and came and stood before him and said, 'Indeed, now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. Now therefore, please take a gift from your servant.' But he said, 'As the Lord lives before whom I stand,'" this is the prophet speaking, "'I will not receive nothing.' And he urged him to take it, but he refused. So Naaman said, 'Then if not, please let your servant be given 2 mule loads of earth, for your servant will no longer offer either burnt offerings or sacrifices to other gods, but to the Lord.'" He became a follower of God. He acknowledged God. He turned to God. He followed God. But really, friend, the clinical point that we don't want to pass over here tonight was simply this: dip or die. Obedience is required. Obey what God says, or you're finished. Eventually. It's either heaven or hell. You know your heart. You know how you stand before God. But that's really it. Dip or die, heaven or hell for you. It's a simple and straightforward. Remember Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9. It says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Verse 1 says, "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the water. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price." Verse 3, "Incline your ear and come to me. Hear and your soul shall live." Verse 6 says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." There is none beyond appeal tonight, friends. Men and women, boys and girls, whoever they are, can be saved if they come in repentance and faith, if they trust Christ as our personal Saviour. So the question to you tonight, friend, is, are you thirsty for God? Are you thirsty? He can meet your needs. Are you interested? He can meet your need. Dip or die for Naaman, heaven or hell for you. You know the answer to where you stand. But if you're not saved tonight, then I would simply urge you to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and to start out for heaven today. Be done with the things of the world. Be done with trying to do it yourself. Be done with the things that hold you back. When God saves you, He'll give you the help and the ability to live for Him. So I would urge you to do that. Thank you all very much for listening. We're going to stand together and sing our final hymn.